VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
It was a Tuesday morning, September 11th, 2001. People across this nation got up. They readied themselves for work or for school. Appointments for the day were underhand, all to be interrupted that day by Islamic terror. Islamic terror brought this country to a sudden halt as planes crashed into the Twin Towers, into the Pentagon, and yet another plane, which was planning its dastardly deed for Washington, D.C., heroic passengers prevented that from taking place and taking that plane down in Pennsylvania. 2,977 people killed. 19 Islamic hijackers committed murder-suicide. Thousands injured. Untold millions across this nation were forever impacted. Immediately, we saw business marquees across this nation display the words, "God bless America," "In God we trust," "Never forget." We saw those words. That evening, some 150 members of the Congress went out to the Capitol steps to sing "God Bless America." You think we'd see that happen again? Churches were filled to capacity, people praying for a nation, looking to God. We said we would never forget. But have we? Have we forgotten what it took us to, what brought us to that point? Have we forgotten the premise of Islam? Have we forgotten the God to whom we must give account? Joining us today here on Crosstalk, Usama Dakdok, the founder of the Straightway of Grace Ministry. He's a speaker on the daily radio broadcast revealing the truth about Islam. He does speak fluent Arabic. He has translated the Quran into English. He is the author of Exposing the Truth About the Quran and Exposing the Truth About Jihad. Usama, thank you for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
Thank you, Brother Jim. It's always my joy and sadly today to join you in such a program.
Usama, how did these Islamic suicide hijackers ever get into our country? I would take us back here 20 years. How did they even get into our country?
Well, if we investigate each and every one of the 19 Muslim believers, I can tell you how. Some came as a student. They actually came to learn how to fly an airplane, like Muhammad Atta, who lived in Venice, Florida, in the same time I was living in Venice, Florida, and he learned in Venice Airport how to fly an airplane. Some of them come as a tourist, and obviously some of them come and they break their visa and stay a little bit longer, like it was and like it will always be. Muslims coming to America in different ways, shapes, or forms, and by using different visas. So it is the program today is the same it was yesterday. Nothing has changed yet.
Usama, some people will say that, well, this was radical Islam that perpetrated this terrorist act. And I'd like to hear from you. Was this radical Islam or is this Islam?
It is radical Islam if we know what the word radical is. In the opening chapter of my new book, Exposing the Truth, Jihad, Volume 2, I talked about three words, the word radical, the word extreme, and the word fundamental. As I investigated these three words in the dictionary, radical is the people who follow the book. Extreme is the people who do not lukewarm. Fundamental are those who truly believe and practice what they believe as it is written in the book. So if I talk about the word radical with the twist or to make it a negative word, well, they're not radical. Why is that? Because the word negative here is not what really the word radical is all about. What I'm trying to say, Brother Jim, if we understand radical, extreme, and fundamental, they are, because they follow the teaching of the Quran, because they are not sugarcoating Islam. But if we put the negative twist in it, then we have to say they're not radical. It's a confusion. I know I'm confusing half of you others right now. But the reality is Muhammad was radical. Allah is radical. These are true Muslim believers who follow the ideology of Islam. Now, if you want to say radical is a negative word, then I have to say, no, they're not radical. They're just true Muslim believers.
Then why is it that we see so many schools across our nation teaching things like the Islamic Confession of Faith, or we're taking some schools taking field trips to the mosque, or students holding these Muslim emphasis days in their schools where girls are to wear the hijab and just really indoctrinate in Islamic customs? Why would we be doing that in our schools?
Well, it's very simple. 4 days after September 11, the President of the United States of America, George W. Bush, set the foundation for the Muslims to take over America. Let me say it again. 4 days after September 11, when he entered himself that mosque near Ground Zero with 11 of Muslim jihadi members, like Nahed Awad, the head of care, whom I look at right now in my computer at his picture, standing on the left side of Mr. George W. Bush. And Mr. George W. Bush told the American people, Islam is a loving and a peaceful religion. He told the American people that these are the work of radical extremists, not Muslims. And he actually warned the American people not to do any retaliation because that's not the spirit of America. And all these wonderful Muslim people stood up behind Mr. George W. Bush, were pretending to be sad and sorrowful, and they were almost in tears of what happened to America, as they all claimed that Islam has been hijacked. But in reality, Islam have already hijacked America. And from that day on, I know for sure that this is the end of America. Have George W. Bush told the American people the truth, as Thomas Jefferson did 200 plus years ago, after he read the Quran, that we have a problem, and the problem is Islam, today we would not have any Muslims in America. Most mosques in America will be closed for sure. But the reality is, after September 11, Muslims continue to come to America in larger numbers than before September 11. More mosques in America quadruple the number, and more important jobs in the government of America taken by the Muslims who swear on the Quran, which teach the destruction of America. All this because we got a bad president, wrong president for such time.
And in addition to that, these policies were furthered by President Obama?
Sure, absolutely. Obama went a deeper and deeper level. I mean, who would say, and when I said when Obama was about to be a president, he was running as a senator in the state of Illinois. And I said, and I remember, and I have it recorded on videos and audio sound bites, that if Obama become a president, he will give the Muslims more and more of this land. And behold, few months, we hear the name John Brennan. Who is John Brennan? Oh, he's the head of CIA. Really? Who is John Brennan? Oh, he's a Muslim convert. And then we see Keith Ellison, who is running as a 5th District, Minnesota. I believe he was a congressman there. And now he's a state attorney. And Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib. And more important job. You know why I know that Muslims take over America after September 11, because I read their blueprint. I know exactly what they're planning to do to America. As they said, from the Holy Land Foundation trial, they said, we will run for every important political job until with Muslims who have the same mind like us. These are Muslim jihadi now. CARE is not a nice, loving, peaceful Muslim. They are the founder of the one of the 30 jihadi organizations in America. They said, we will run for political office until we have the upper hand. And oh boy, wait until the day will come when Muslims have the upper hand in America. Then you're going to see the real Islam all over this land.
How close are we to that time?
Depends. If you're going to have Biden in the White House for the next 3 years, I can imagine another 20-some million coming to America in the next 20 years. And I know I say 20 million, and people think I'm exaggerating, I'm losing my credibility, and people will mock at my word. Trust me. Take my words, Brother Jim. I'm glad you're recording this program, because 3 years from now, we'll have at least 20 more million Muslims coming to America. As a matter of fact, in the next year, we'll have 2 million from the country of Afghanistan alone.
Usama, we also find right now the Virginia Department of Education. They just hosted a speaker described as an education leadership scholar. This is Amara DeCure. But she delivered a PowerPoint presentation that stated school and classroom 9/11 commemorations are sites for increased anti-Muslim racism, and spoke of the false assumption of Muslim responsibility for 9/11, the push through the state, pushing teachers to instructing them to exclude the role of Islam in the 9/11 attacks. Is it possible to separate what happened on 9/11 from Islam?
You can't. You can't if you ignore the words of Allah in the Quran. You can't if you ignore the teaching of Muhammad in the Hadith. You can't if you believe that 9/11 is internal job. It is Mr. George W. Bush and his vice president who causes this chaos, and there is no 19 hijacker Muslim believers, and it was all a drama made by the U.S. government under the leadership of George W. Bush. If you believe in this attack to be inside job, then you can separate Islam from September 11. Otherwise, the print, the blueprint, the word of Allah, the teacher Muhammad, is a clear evidence that what happened on that day, it is Muslim attack. And sadly, it will repeat itself way, way later, not now, after Muslim will have the upper hand, and it will be too late to fix then.
Yeah, it's very interesting because this was the Virginia Department of Education and instruction going to teachers to, you know, remove the role of Islam from 9/11. And then I see also within the last few weeks, there was a school teacher who took out One Nation Under God from the pledge. And there's another school in Virginia this past spring, Brother Usama, that this was a graduation exercise. And the student distorted our Pledge of Allegiance by saying One Nation Under Allah instead of One Nation Under God.
Well, don't forget, we got plenty of Christian ministers in America who know nothing about Islam or telling us that Muslims and Christians worship the same God. So if you want to, you don't want to take it from the school, there's plenty of ungodly, wicked ministers, those whom Jesus said, and on the day of judgment, they would say, Lord, Lord, and he'd say, I do not know you, evildoers. These preachers all over America will tell you that we worship God like the Muslims, the same God. Allah is God. So what difference does it make if you say Allah or God? What difference if you say Jesus or Isa? As other Baptist ministers teach the same thing. Brother Jim, we have a problem in America. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We are literally helping the Muslims. And by the way, when you're talking about separating September 11 from Islam, this is exactly what Obama did under his administrative team when they were building the museum of September 11, and they removed very important facts in that museum to talk about September 11 and Islam. They moved it out. And slowly, slowly, we're taking this curve. If you are traveling on a road and you go a little bit off to the left or the right, just say 1 inch, go for a mile. You already missed the road to your location. If you wait for another 100 miles, you're in different cities or different states. If you go for another mile, for another few hundred miles, you're out of the America. You're back now to Canada or some other country. That's exactly what happened. It's a slow process of removing Islam from September 11, simply because the American people listen to our politicians and because of the political correctness and because the American people are so ignorant of the words of Allah in the Quran and the saying and the teaching of Muhammad in the Hadith, which I would love to quote some of it today.
Well, we will get into that. We're just 30 seconds from the break, but all of this, Usama, and we've got the media that is now pushing stories that Muslims are the real victims in all of this, as they who are now hate crimes being perpetrated against them and trying to change the entire narrative of what really happened on 9/11 and what drove those Islamic hijackers to do what they did.
Brother Jim, the only people who benefit from September 11 are the Muslims, not just here in America, but around the world. This is the reality of September 11 and Islam.
Usama Daktak, our guest here today on Crosstalk, never forget 9/11, 20 years later. Usama is going to be giving some quotes from the Quran itself. This would be the guide, the book that gives the directives to Muslims how they ought to live, how they ought to think. More on that after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, some lakes are shrinking in size. What's causing this?
Chris, the Earth's average temperature has been rising over these past few years. But is this a long-term trend? We know that over the decades, the average temperature has gone both up and down, so we wonder what's next. The current warming trend, however, has caused an increase in evaporation from some inland lakes. One lake is in the Middle East. The salty Aral Sea has shrunk dramatically, exposing a several-mile-wide salt beach. This has even affected the search for Noah's Ark. Salt has been picked up by the wind and blown all over the Middle East, including the glacier on Mount Ararat, causing it to melt quite a bit. Inland lakes are by and large leftovers from Noah's flood and the ice age which came after it. How much longer will they last? We'll have to wait and see. And that's the Back to Genesis truth.
Visit our website at www.icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Never forget 9/11. 20 years later, our guest is Usama Dakdak. Usama, some would just say you are spewing hate. You're not being loving. You're spewing hate. You're intolerant. I'd like you to quote from the Quran what would inspire individuals who are followers of Islam to do what they did on 9/11. Some are saying you're taking things out of context. What does the Quran say? What are the directives that are given here in this regard?
Absolutely, Brother Jim. Well, first of all, I do not take verses of the Quran out of context. I just read them. And if you read the previous and the following verses, you will realize that the Quran is written out of context, which means if I read Quran 5:72, and Allah says, infidels indeed are those who said, surely Allah is the Christ, Son of Mary. That means every Christian, no matter what denomination you belong to, are infidels. All Christians are infidels because Allah said so. If you read 5:71, it has nothing to do with 5:72. That is a command for itself. But the following verse has attachment to that verse, which is 5:73. As we read, infidels indeed are those who said, surely Allah is the third of three. So if you believe in Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, for sure you are an infidel. Why? Because Allah, the God of Muhammad, is Samad, is like a solid. He is not a person with emptiness inside him, like we believe in Jesus. Now, this is the two verses which we know for sure they teach all Christians are infidels. Now listen to the command of Allah. In the book of Muhammad, that is Quran chapter 47, verse 4, Allah orders the Muslim the following. So when you meet those who became infidels, take the word became infidels out and say Christians. So when you meet the Christians, so strike the neck, that is decapitate, until you have made a great slaughter among them. So when some Muslim behead a Jew or a Christian, behead an infidel, he is fulfilling his duty before Allah. He's practicing the Quran. Now, we got in the Quran, Brother Jim, 79 verses. I'm not going to have the hour or two to read for you where Allah taught the Muslims about war. But let me quote for you Quran chapter 2, verse 216. Not out of context. Anybody can go read it. Previous verses and after verses. It is exactly a command by itself. War is decreed to you, and it is hated by you, and perhaps you may hate something, and it is good for you, and perhaps you love something, and it is evil for you, and Allah knows, and you do not know. That verse of war is all over the Quran. 79 times where Allah said, I know you hate to kill the Jews. I know you hate to kill the Christians, but that is what I'm asking you to do, and that is the best for you. Listen to the interpretation of Al-Tabari, one of the top Muslim scholars, who said, Arabs are the most noble people in lineage, the most prominent, the best indeed. We were the first to respond to the call of the Prophet. We are Allah's helpers and the viziers of his messenger. We engage in war with people until people believe in Allah, until people become Muslims. He who believes in Allah and his messenger, Muhammad, has protected his life and possessions from us. As for one who disbelieves, become infidel, continue to be infidel, we will engage in war with him forever in the cause of Allah. Killing him is a small matter to us. This is not Usama Dakdak's opinion. That is the great Muslim scholar Al-Tabari's opinion concerning war. And I can go on and on, Brother Jim, for the next 4 hours, 5 hours, to quote many verses like that about war. For example, 9:14, engage in war with them. Allah will torment them by your hands and put them to shame and give you victory over them and heal the chest of a believing people. And 9:5. So when the forbidden months are past, so kill, K-I-L-L, kill the polytheists and those who worship more than one God, Christians, worship three, wherever you find them, take them as captives and besiege them and lay wait for them with every kind of ambush. So if they repent, that is convert to Islam, and perform the prayers and give the legal arms, so leave the way free, surely Allah is forgiving, merciful. By the way, Brother Jim, 9:5, the verse I just quoted, is known by all Muslim scholars as the verse of the sword. That is the one verse Allah used in the Quran to abrogate, to cancel, to erase, and to delete 124 verses, soft, early, Mecca verses.
Usama Dakdak, our guest here today on Crosstalk, and so to kill the infidel, strike the necks of the infidel, and that should it surprise us, Usama, just days ago in the state of Kansas, I mean, the student, and this is from Todd Starnes, but you'll find it in news media all around the world that picked up on this story, the student body president at the University of Kansas facing fierce outrage from across the nation over an anti-American tweet that was shared from her official account just days before the 20th anniversary of the September 11th terrorist attacks. Happy Friday, everybody, read a message that was retweeted on the official account of student body president Nina McIndoe. And the tweet was, "Death to America." The threatening message was accompanied by a grinning emoji, also posted just days after 13 American service members were blown up by Muslim terrorists in Afghanistan. The hateful message also shared on the official Twitter feed of the University of Kansas student body. Usama, that same thing, "death to America," that's exactly what you quoted, really, from the Quran.
And you know what, Brother Jim, if there's some liberal Democrats listening to you right now, he would say, how dare are you teaching hate on the radio broadcast? Why are you quoting these words of some evil, radical, extreme Muslim? Don't you know that there are moderate Muslims in America? The loving, peaceful imams in America. And what's so amazing, Brother Jim, Obama invented the word moderate Muslim as he forced us not to use the word Muslim jihadi or Muslim extremist, because he said there is no attachment between Islam and September 11. That was started with that first Muslim president in America, Barack Hussein Obama. And from that day on, I said, goodbye, America. I literally said, goodbye, America. Because even when you report this terrible, terrible material, which you're just reading on air right now, they're going to jump on you, on your throat. How dare are you to teach hate? This has nothing to do with Islam. It's a very, very sad story, Brother Jim.
Let's talk about Allahu Akbar. I mean, so many times the media portrays this, and we see it every time somebody is killed, they are knifed, they are decapitated, they are shot, whatever it may be. And many times the media portrays, well, they just yelled out, God is great. But that's not what it means, is it?
Well, Allah is not God unless Muslims believe that Jesus is God, the Holy Spirit is God, and God the Father is God. If Muslims will not admit that Muhammad was wrong when he say Jesus is not the Son of God, and we are infants because we believe in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, then we have to believe that Muslim worship Satan, because Allah is not God. Now, the word Akbar, it means bigger. It is the opposite of the word Asghar, which is smaller. Allahu Akbar, Satan is bigger. It is a shout Muslim repeat in the mosque, in the call of prayer, in the prayer, and as they do their duty to perform jihad for the sake of Allah. As Allah, Satan the Quran, Kabbirullah, means shout Allahu Akbar. And that is like, my daddy is bigger than your daddy, and I'm taking you down. That's exactly what Muslim meant by it. It was a shout to terrorize the Christian and the Jews in Muhammad days, to terrorize the idol worshippers, because Muslims used to surround the villages and they shout, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, in unity, and then they jump on the village and they kill the men, rape the women and the daughters, take them as concubines and slaves. That is how Muhammad began his invasion to the neighboring villages, Christian and Jewish and others. That is the secret behind the shout, Allah. It's not God is great, Brother Jim. We have a word for great, by the way, in the Arabic, which is the word azim. I never heard a Muslim say Allah azim, Allah is great. But they always shout Allah Akbar, and it is have ties with jihad all over the history of Islam, beginning by Muhammad himself a good 1,400 years ago.
We begin to wonder, and there are people wondering right now all over the country as we look at 9/11, what happened then, and are we repeating? Could this repeat itself right now with all that's going on in Afghanistan? People are concerned about the Muslims coming to America who have not been vetted. And I want you to comment on that word. But we have President Biden requesting some $6.4 billion in taxpayer money to resettle 95,000 Afghans across the U.S. at this time. Tell us your thoughts on this and this so-called vetting process.
Brother Jim, I said about vetting years ago when we start beginning bringing Muslims from Somalia to America as refugees. I said, the vetting is very simple. You ask the question, are you a Muslim? If they say yes. Do you believe in the Quran and Muhammad? If they say yes, then the end of the vetting. You cannot come to America. And we will never do that until we read the Quran, understood who is Allah, Satan, and who is Muhammad, the wicked, evil, pervert, child molester, sex offender, a womanizer, adulterer, thief, and slug, and a terrorist. If we do not know Islam, what is vetting? Can you imagine? Not only we do not know how to vet the Muslim because we do not know Islam, we allow Muslims to run for office all over America swearing on the Quran, which teaches to kill Americans, to kill Christians, to behead the Jews and the Christians, and to take their wives as concubines, to rape, take their daughters to rape. This is what the Quran teaches. And when Muslims do that right now in Europe, the Europeans are shocked. I mean, think about the number of child rape in England. Muslim, Pakistani, and Afghani, and Bangladeshi, who are raping little girls up to 8 and 9 years old. 2% of the Muslim refugees in England are responsible for 84% of child rape. And the number of women, adult women, who are raped by Muslims is skyrocket. But you cannot say anything about it, because if you are a policeman, you don't want to be defunded. If you are a politician, you don't want to lose your job as a congressman or a senator. What's happening in England is coming to America. You cannot vet the Muslims until you understand Islam. And you cannot understand the Islam until you read the Quran and the teaching of Muhammad and the Hadith. Therefore, forget about the vetting. We're bringing Taliban to America. They will practice the final jihad in America when the Muslims have the upper hand. That is when they practice the words of Allah in Quran chapter 47 and verse 35. Do not be weak and do not call for peace when you have the upper hand. We're bringing the snake home. If you remember Mr. Trump, when he told the story about the snake, that lady who found the snake dying of cold weather, and she brought him in the house, and she started feeding him milk and take care of him. And then when the snake becomes strong, and he bit her in her hand, and the poison ran in her vein, and she was dying, and the snake told her, "You are stupid. You got me in, and you know I'm a snake." That's exactly what is coming to America. We're bringing the snake to America, the Muslims to America, because we never learned the lesson from September 11th, and we're going to repeat the story. Sadly, it is unfixable when the Muslims will have the upper hand here in America.
And yet we have the Biden administration. They're concerned. They're concerned. Believe this or not, ladies and gentlemen, I can't make this up, but they're concerned that the Taliban doesn't have women in leadership. They lack diversity. That's their concern, Usama.
Yep. And we left the Afghanistan and we say, please don't beat your wives. Please let them go to school, not realizing that the Quran teach they do not have to be educated. Islam teach no education for women. They stay at their homes, and the beating of the wife is the sunnah of Muhammad. It is Islam. Because once again, we're so stupid, Brother Jim. We never know anything about Islam. And we're not even concerned about the American left behind in Afghanistan. We worry about Afghani men. Please don't beat your wives. Please educate them. Please make them leaders in the country. We're so sick in our heads.
Wow. Usama Daktok is with us today. His website is thestraightway.org, thestraightway.org. Many resources that are available there, information, articles, etc. A quick break. I've got a couple more questions for Usama. Then we'll give you opportunity to call with your questions to him as we remember 9/11 today. 20 years later, we're told to never forget. The question is, have we forgotten? Have we forgotten as a nation? Back in 1 minute here on Crosstalk. James 4:14 poses this thought: for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Have you ever stopped to consider where you will spend eternity? You may say, but I'm a good person. I care for my family. I feed the poor. I stand up for life and traditional values. While all of these things are good, they fall far short of God's standard. Every one of us has a sin issue that must be dealt with. Our sin separates us from God, and each of us deserves to be eternally removed from God in everlasting punishment. But out of God's great love, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to bear our sins, shed His blood, die on the cross, and rise again. He is the only way of salvation, and it's imperative for you to place your trust in Him. If you're wrestling with this issue, we'd like to send you a complimentary leaflet, Where Will You Spend Eternity? To receive a copy, just ask for it when you call us at 1-800-729-9829. 800-729-9829. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Never forget has been our motto here of 9/11. 20 years later now, the question is, have we forgotten? Indeed, have we forgotten? I mean, churches were filled to capacity. What's going on now in the churches across this land? We said we would never forget. But folks, have we done that? Have we forgotten what took us to that point then and where we are now? Have we forgotten the premise of what Islam is, what it teaches? Have we forgotten the God to whom we must give account? Usama Daktak addressing these issues today here on Crosstalk. And Usama, you have been, you know the Quran, you have translated it into English. I understand there are verses in the Quran also about terrorism itself.
Exactly. The word turhabun or irhab, the word terrorism, is all over the Quran. And let me quote for you Quran 3:151. Allah said, for those idiots or useful idiots who believe Allah is God, Allah said, we will cast terror into the heart of those who became infidels. Allah is a terrorist who is terrorizing the Christians. Now, if these ministers or those Americans believe Allah is God, that means we have to believe that God is terrorizing the Christians because they partner other God with Allah, because they believe Jesus is God, because they believe the Holy Spirit is God, which he did not send down with any authority, and their abode is hell, and evil is the place of the unjust. All the Christians are going to burn in hell because Allah said so in the Quran after he terrorized them. Quran 8:12, when your Lord revealed to the angels, I am with you, so make firm those who believe, the Muslim believer, I will cast terror into the heart of those who became infidels, the Christians and the Jews. So strike above their necks, decapitation, and strike off every finger from them. Boy, oh boy, I must believe that Allah is God, because Allah wanted the Muslim believers to behead and cut the fingers and the toes of the Christians. It must be true. 860, and prepare for them whatever power you can of the tying of horses, and strike terror into the enemy of Allah, your enemy, and others. Without them, you do not know them. Imagine with me, Allah in the Quran asking the Muslim believer to terrorize people they do not know simply because they are not Muslim believers. How Muhammad interpreted the Quran, how Muhammad interpreting the terrorization, we read about that in Quran 33, verses 26 and 27. When Muhammad was following the command of Allah, who said, and he brought down the people of the book, these are the Jews and the Christians, who backed them from their strong places and cast the terror into their heart. A group of them you're killing, and a group of them you're taking captive. Muhammad beheaded 700 to 900 Jewish men and took the women and the children as captives. Anybody can go read the interpretation of the Quran. Finally, Brother Jim, let me quote one more verse, 59:13, where Allah is telling us, the God of Muhammad is telling us about the Muslim believers. You, Muslim believers, are a greater terror in their chest than Allah. Every Muslim believer, according to Quran 59:13, is a greater terrorist than Allah, the terrorist. And you tell me we worship the same God? I have not even got to jihad, Brother Jim, because I got 26 verses in my hand right now where I learn about Allah ordering Muslim believers to perform jihad. Holy war to spread the cult of Islam in America and all over the world.
Well, friends, just to help you further understand this, we also don't forget what happened at Fort Hood, November 5th of 2009, as we saw 13 some people murdered, more than 30 others wounded. Nearly all of them were unarmed soldiers. We had a U.S. Army officer, the Muslim major, Nadel Hassan, an Army psychiatrist. This was the time, the worst mass shooting at a U.S. military installation. She shouted out, Allahu Akbar, and then opened fire on this crowd. But Usama, according to Pamela Geller, this mass-murdering Muslim terrorist, Nadel Hassan, has now congratulated the Taliban in a handwritten letter now with these words, we have won.
Brother Jim, the whole Muslim world celebrating the great victory Taliban accomplished. We went to Afghanistan to get rid of Taliban, and we left Afghanistan after making Taliban the greatest army with almost $90 billion of equipment left for them. And believe me, they will be receiving billions and billions from O'Biden or O'Kamala or whoever dumb Democrat would be in the White House. They will be fully supported beyond your imagination. We maybe defund Israel to support Taliban in the near future.
Folks, we'd like to get you opportunity to ask a question of Usama today. If you have a question you'd like to ask, our number 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Our topic today, never forget 9/11. We're 20 years now after what this Islamic terrorist attack upon the United States. Usama is well-versed in what the Quran says, what instructions are given in it. And today we have our open lines here to give you opportunity to ask questions of Usama. Our number, 800-733-9829. Usama, we are at our 20th anniversary of 9/11. I still remember that day very vividly. What is your call to the Church of America today? And by the Church, I'm referring to believers in Jesus Christ. What is your call to the Church at such a time as this?
Yeah, first of all, Brother Jim, I remember on that Tuesday, I was at New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, and when I saw these airplanes taking the towers, I said on the spot, before I hear a word, this is Islamic attack. And the sad thing what broke my heart is my school and many of the churches at New Orleans went to the mosque delivering flour for the Muslim people. And we actually brought food. We bought food to the Muslim community, and there's 5 mosques in New Orleans. So we literally helped and show the love of Jesus Christ to the Muslims who live in New Orleans, not realizing we were suckers there and we're still suckers today. We're not doing what's right. We're not doing what's right, because a glass of water in my name, Jesus said, we actually told these Muslims of New Orleans, you're victims of what happened on September 11th. Not we are the victims of September 11th. So my advice to the church is very simple. Get yourself a copy of my Quran, read the Quran, ministers, teach it to your people, because if not, your children and your grandchildren will be taught in our public schools, Islam is love, Islam is peace, Muslim worship the same God we worship, and this have nothing to do with September 11th. Islam have nothing to do with September 11th. So it's time for the church leaders, for the deacons, for the elders to take a stand. I know, it is so difficult for them because of political correctness to have somebody like me who's willing to die for them and their children to come and educate them about Islam. But please, ministers, be bold enough, be man enough, and educate yourself, because once again, the scripture said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Not only ministers that educate themselves, but educate the people of the church. And if they have the boldness and the guts, give me a call. I will be there. I am one call away from coming to you.
Let's go to Shirley calling in from Norway, Michigan. Shirley, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for bringing Usama on today. I have 2 questions for him. Well, 1 statement, 1 question. Shortly after the 9/11, the Muslims, I know, have built a mosque near the 9/11 actual site, which is a sign of conquering. And a couple of weeks ago, William Federer was on Brandon House's program, and he was talking about different dates in Islamic history that mm-hmm. happened on September 11th. Mm-hmm. Does Usama know what those dates are? And thank you very much for all your work for
right.
us.
And we'll have him comment, but we did interview Bill Federer, a full program on that very issue here. I believe that was last year, and you'll find that in the Crosstalk archives. But, Usama, we know 9/11, as Bill Federer took his back, there are many, many atrocities by Islam on that date in years past.
Let me put this here, Brother Jim. I believe Allah is Satan, and Satan remembers the past very well, and he will use specific dates to encourage Muslim believers to continue to add victories to Allah. This mosque was supposed to be called Victory Mosque, and the reason was because the actually Faisal, Imam Faisal Abdurrauf named it Verkova Mosque, which is a name of a battle Muslim won in Spain against the Spanish people long time ago. There's not too many mosques by that name, and it was existing because it was a small mosque. You want to build a bigger one. Don't worry, in the last 20 years, Muslims built, 800% more mosques than what we used to have. Mosques will always build in America, like it or not. They're buying churches. I was in St. Cloud 2 weeks ago, and the biggest Islamic center there used to be a church, and now it is a Muslim mosque. they are going to take over America once again, as long as American people have not had the privilege or the chance to read the Quran and learn the truth about Islam.
Right. Thank you for the call. And I correct myself. It was not last year. It was actually September 11th, 2018. We did the interview with him on that topic. Thanks for the call. We've got Mark in Monroe, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yes. Jim raised the question about whether another 9/11 could occur today. My concern is that Barack Hussein Obama released top known terrorists from Guantanamo Bay during his administration, mm-hmm. which the current president as VP at that time was well aware of. And I think those guys at the helm today could very well do the same thing.
Well, thank you, Mark. And Usama, some of the members that President Obama released are now in leadership in the Taliban.
Absolutely. The 5-4 Bo, if you remember Bo, the one who betrayed our soldiers and actually caused five or six American soldiers to be killed, was searching for him, but he is the one who walked by his foot to the Taliban. Brother Jim, the nonprofit ministries in America are doing a great job to take over America, and sadly, we will not wake up to find out who they are. 30 jihad organizations, CARE, ISNA, ISIS, the Islamic State of North America, and the Muslim Student Association. These are very dangerous groups. They're worse than the jihadi Taliban, which Obama freed from Gitmo. There's only 30-some soldiers left in, criminal left in Gitmo. And I guarantee you, Biden will set them free sometime next week if he have not done it last night yet. So we have a problem in America worse than the Muslims, which we free overseas. And these are the same Muslim Brotherhood, jihadi, Al-Qaeda, Daesh, ISIS, Boko Haram, whatever name you want to give to them. They're Muslims in America to take over America, and we have no clue that they are in our midst.
Let's go to Denise calling from Somerset, Kentucky. You're on the air, Denise.
Hello. I was just talking to a lady from France that ministers to Islam women, and I was curious of how their husbands would react because of the way that they are taught that they can be abusive to their women and stuff. And then I started talking to her about our freedom and our constitution and how our country is being influxed and almost overridden by things that would take our freedom away. And it was almost like she looked at me and she almost was like in a trance. She didn't understand what I was talking about as far as freedom goes. And I was wondering, in the European countries or France, could you explain that, why she's like that?
Explain why she has a different concept of what freedom is? Hello? Okay, Denise hung up. I don't know that we know the full aspect of your question. Usama, did you get what she was asking?
I think the people of Europe do not understand the freedom we have in America because Europe is now a liberal country. All over Europe, if I understood your question, I don't think the people of Europe realizing what they've been. They are brainwashed, Brother Jim, like the liberals are trying to brainwash our next generation in America to make them believe that there is no such thing as the freedom and the rights we have in America for the future.
We'll pick up with more of your calls after the break. Usama Daktak, our guest here today from the Straight Way of Grace Ministry. His website is thestraightway.org, thestraightway.org. Back in 1 minute.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Recently, I was thinking about what Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief has come to steal, destroy, and kill. The context is false teachers. But yet, my friends, the world is filled with false teachers, and they don't have to come into the church. They can be doctors. They can be so-called medical experts. They can be government people, globalists, who actually have a religion, the religion of pantheism, all is God, or panentheism, God is in all. A religion of occultism or New Age. These are false prophets. And what are they doing today? They're killing. Abortion on demand. Quote, a vaccine that's killing people. They're killing the dollar. They're killing small businesses. They're killing our country by opening our borders up to Islamists who want to kill us. Are we shocked that these people who serve Satan are out to kill, destroy, and steal? I'm Brandon House.
Our guest today, Usama Dakdak, and folks, he has warned for years and years about some of the very things that we are seeing take place in our nation and around the world today. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Robert is calling from Milwaukee. Robert, you're on the air.
Yes, okay. Usama, I've been listening to for years, but my thing I wanted to ask you was this. Do you think this is a deliberate plot from our government to destroy us, being that I heard the other day that the director of Homeland Security said that he was more concerned about domestic terrorists than Taliban and other extremists sneaking over here on the plane?
Okay. Usama?
Well, this is nothing new, Brother Jim. Believe it or not, under Mr. Obama, they have this slide, and I'm going to get it to read to you, where we listed people. I don't know. I think we forget what happened yesterday. Under Obama, they have this slide, which I have in my presentation, jihad and terrorism, religious extremists. This is, ladies and gentlemen, 12 years ago. They have, on number one, evangelical Christians, U.S. Christians. That is number one. I don't think the American people read it 12 years ago, and they are doing it again today, and we are like the frog, which is, the water is getting so hot that we're in a coma about to be boiled, Brother Jim.
Mm-hmm.
This is nothing new. The Democrats of America hated Christ. They hate Jesus Christ. They hate Christianity. They hate the believers. They hate our Constitution. They hate our laws and orders. They hate everything about America because they're worshiping Allah. They're not Muslims, but they're worshiping Satan. They are anti-Christianity for Muslims because they know that their Satan is Allah, whom they are given this country to destroy. That's exactly what's happening. If you think I'm extreme of saying that, please call me later and I will convince you 100%. I know what I'm talking about, and you are so ignorant of what I'm talking about.
Okay, and your phone number is available through your website?
Yes, 941-223-3698.
Okay.
941-223-3698.
Okay, Usama Dakdak with us. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Frank. You're next on the air. Go ahead, Frank.
Hello. Yes, I think a problem that I had listening to you both is that you don't really differentiate between Islam and Muslim. Now, those are two are not the same, and you use them as if they are the same. And in that sense,
I think that's
you turn.
That's enough. I apologize, Brother Jim. When you hear useful idiot people like this caller here, who's telling me Muslims and Islam are not the same, he needs to go and learn the ABC of Islam. Islam is the name of the religion, and Muslims are those who believe in Islam. They're not two different animals. They are one thing. It's like he's telling us right now, Christians and Christianity are two different things. No, Christianity is the name of our belief, and Christians are those who believe in Islam. Now they come up with so many words that Islamists, these are not the Muslims, these are the Islamists. It's a made-up word by some smart, deceiver Muslims who live in America, try to convince us that these are not radical extremists, these are Islamists, inventing words like Christianists. There's no such a thing as Christianists. So once again, Brother Jim, Islam is the name of the cult, the savage cult, which was invented by Muhammad 1,400 years ago, and Muslims are those who submit to that savage cult for the destruction of every Christian and every non-Muslim believer.
Let me piggyback on Frank's question here. Usama, I've heard you say, though, before that we are to love Muslims.
Sure.
But hate the religion.
I love them. I love them as my enemies. Not sugarcoating them and make them this wonderful people. Oh, they're great. No, they're not. Jesus taught us, love your enemy. He did not say, change the name of them and make them Islamists. So you say, I love Islamists. No, this is ridiculous. I love them as my neighbor, as myself. The Bible teaches, love your neighbor as yourself. That means I lead them to Christ. I don't love Muslims to hell, as many of these liberals do. They care less about their eternity. I love Muslims to let them know that Jesus loved them. Jesus died on the cross for their sins as much as he died on the cross for my sins. And if they reject Islam, the savage cult of Muhammad, the teaching of Allah in the Quran, and believe in Christ that he died and rose again for their sins, they will be saved and they will have eternal life. Otherwise, when they die as Muslim believers, they will spend eternity in hell with Muhammad. That is the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
We don't sugarcoat Christianity. We don't sugarcoat Islam. This is the truth for those who have ears and who are willing to hear to be saved.
Okay, Frank, I'm going to come back to you. Do you understand what Usama is saying here?
Yes, but he just keeps on confusing the ideology with a nationality. The Muslim is a national group, okay? Just like an American is a national group. I was born in America.
What nation is Muslim?
Muslim would be the nations that go from Esau.
You've got okay. it, Brother Jim.
Yeah, wait, is Muslim just a nationality?
No. They are Chinese Muslim, they are Russian Muslim, they are European Muslim for all the countries, they are Australian Muslim, they are American Muslim. Muslims are those who submit to Islam. Islam means submission, and Muslims are those who submit to Islam.
Okay.
This hogwash talk needs to be washed out.
Okay.
It needs to be stopped. My friend, Mr. Frank, learn Islam, read the Quran. Unless you tell me Allah is not good, and Muhammad is not good, and the Quran is not good, and you got some good Muslim friends, that is dumb.
Thank you, Frank.
I'm sorry to say that. That is dumb.
Thank you, Frank, for the call. Let's go. And tell you what, you can follow up further with Usama. He gave his phone number out.
Absolutely.
So feel free to do that.
Call 941-223-3698. I look forward to hearing from you, Brother Frank.
Great. Thank you, Frank. Gail in Mindoro, you're on the air.
Hi. So we have some missionaries that serve Muslim nations in the Middle East and mm-hmm. Europe and Asia. And they make it sound like the people are just kind of in a religion. They're not necessarily all radical. How do you tell the difference between a radical Muslim and just a nominal Muslim?
Yeah,
nominal Christians.
Thank you. We've got 30 seconds left. You summon the program, but there are those who really, they don't know what the Quran says themselves.
Exactly. 87% of the Muslim people do not know anything about Islam because simply they cannot read the Arabic language. But Islam itself is a problem. The ideology of Islam is a problem. Just read the Quran, learn Islam from its sources, and you will find out how evil Islam is.
Thank you. We are out of time on the program here today. Usama Daktak, our guest, Never Forget 9/11, 20 years later, our topic, the website, thestraightway.org, thestraightway.org. Now, friends, we're limited on time with the program, but if you want to follow up further with Usama on these issues, contact him, 941-223-3698. Usama, thank you for joining us here today.
Thank you, Brother Jim. God bless you both.
Okay, and God bless you as well. Thanks for listening, friends, and for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.